What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Aren't we grateful for him again and this wonderful choir and orchestra? We're so thankful for you. We are in the book of Philippians. That's where we're going to be this morning in our time of study. And we are delighted that you are here. We've been in a series called Make Church Great Again. And we've been on quite a journey as we've talked about worship. We've talked about evangelism. We've talked about several different subjects. And this morning, I'm delighted as I think this church, more than any other church I've seen, has excelled in the subject we're going to talk about today. It is fellowship. Not the fellowship just of the potluck, because we're Baptists. That goes hand in hand, right? But the fellowship of believers and one another and caring for one another. We cherish friendships here in this place. Not too long ago, someone asked me, how do you define Flat Creek Baptist Church? And I said, it is in two ways. One, it's a family, and it's deeply rooted in relationships. I just believe this fellowship, more than any other I've been a part of, truly gets what it means to carry one another's burdens. And so this morning, I'm going to be preaching to the mass choir. And we're going to have a great time studying God's Word as we trace this little word, Philippians, through the book of Philippians, rather, and I know we're going to be blessed this morning. When you think about a friend, what comes to mind? I can't help but think, when I think about a friend, a true friend, a relationship, he knows everything about me, but he still calls me his friend. Now, that's a mark of a friend, isn't it? One poet once said, it's the sheltering tree in which we live. They just cover such shade. They care for us deeply. But I want to point out and bring to your attention this morning something that our students already know, but it is important for all of us to hear. We live in an impoverished society. We understand there's material needs, and certainly there's poverty in that realm. We could all acknowledge today as well that there is a spiritual poverty. Jesus gave us that in the Mount in the Beatitudes, he gave us that. Saying those who are hungry, those who are poor, in need of the Spirit. We know that there is a spiritual hunger in our society. But could I submit to us this morning that there is a relational poverty in our midst? That sounds strange. That sounds strange because of the boom of social media. I love social media. I go nuts for social media. I like Facebook. I like Twitter. I like Instagram. I like Snapchat. I like Google Circle. I like it all. I'm a high eye on the disc chart. I'm a people person. I love people. I think everybody can be my best friend in about 15 minutes. Even those of you who are suspect to me right now, you're like, I don't know this guy. I'm not really sure what I think about. I believe you and I can be friends and best friends in 15 minutes. That's just my personality. I love people. And I love what Instagram and all those other social media platforms have done for us in connecting us to the broad audiences of the world. I love it. But it is fascinating to me when you look into the studies and you find this, that our senior adult generation could name five of their close friends. They could name five close friends in their life. But when you look at my generation and beyond, it's fascinating that they can only name two that they would consider close friends, personal friends, if something hit or happened that they could pick up the phone and call. That's strange because we have hundreds of followers on Instagram, or maybe tens and twenties. We have tens and twenties of followers on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. We filter things in a way that make us look so cool, right? I see some of y'all got your Instagram shot and you filter it and you look awesome. We have all of that. But yet, when it comes down to it, we are relationally poor. I don't know of another generation that's screaming out for such true and authentic relationships than mine. We're hungry for true, passionate fellowship. Now, y'all need to pray for my generation, millennials and below too. because a bad day for us is when we can't get on the internet and can't get on to our Snapchat, Instagram. That is a horrible day, and we don't even want to talk about the implications. If the internet goes down, Lord help us all, because us millennials will crack. So let me just press pause for a second and say, our generation, my generation, desperately needs the other generation to speak truth into our life. We're looking for those authentic relationships from other generations past that truly may get what a bad day could look like, to speak into our life and say, God can get you through that. I want you to listen to Dr. Zimbaro from Stanford. I think he says it well in a quote that I found from him this week. I know no more potent killer than isolation. There is no more destructive influence on physical or mental health than isolation. Of you from me and me from you. We need fellowship. How does that happen here? How does that happen? How can I connect here? I believe through God's Word in Philippians, He answers that question for us. And I want to call to your attention the first thing. When we talk about fellowship, I think number one, if you're taking notes, it says, fellowship is supernatural. And it's in verse 5 of chapter 1 of Philippians that I want us to look at. For your fellowship, koinonia is the Greek word, for your koinonia fellowship in the gospel from this first day until now. The Philippian church, and Philippi in particular, is very near and dear to Paul's heart. He deeply loved them. He's writing from a place of prison, but this church has shown tremendous amount of grace towards him. In fact, as best as I can tell, this is the only church that supported his work financially as well. And so Paul has a deep passion for these people. And you read it throughout, Epaphroditus in particular at the last part of Philippians, where he brings him a gift, he cares for his soul deeply. And so Paul is writing about this issue of fellowship directly to you and I believe, as we translate this over into our 21st century, as he talks about this word fellowship, koinonia. It's more than just a hangout. It's more than just a meet and greet. It's more than just a potluck. It is we are anchored together. We are connected together by one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the connecting piece. That is the dynamic of fellowship. We are connected through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would submit to us this morning that it's not good for us to be in isolation. We do live in a world that is desperately, relationally impoverished, and it's crying out for true, authentic relationships. Not a single one of us in this room was ever created to be alone. You weren't designed to walk through this life by yourself. Wait a second. You show that to me in Scripture. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I want to show you by God's very own makeup that the way that God Himself is cares deeply about us being connected. Genesis 1, verse 26, as God begins to form Adam and Eve, He says these words, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Did you catch that in the beginning? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. I first want to call to your attention the very character of our God. Who is us? Who is ours? Friend, I would submit to, that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the very nature of our God, He has built in Himself community. It's Father, Son, and Spirit here existing in the beginning of time. Here you have three essence in one. Community exists in the very nature of God. Three essence in one. God makes us and forms us out of His very own image. But friends, you and I were not made to be alone. You can look over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. It is not good that man should be alone." You were created with a communal gene, whether you like it or not. For the extroverts in the room, we say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I knew it. I knew it. We're a community." For those who are introverts, we're coming alongside of you. We're going to shoulder a burden with you. We're going to walk life with you because we need you just as much. You were created to exist in community. Every single one of us. Not made to walk through this life alone, but to have someone shoulder a burden with you. We love to talk about David and Goliath. We love to talk about how he had those five stones and he launched them and the giant fell, ignited a whole nation to be on fire for God, and they all went after their own Goliath. If you read Chronicles, it talks about this season of time where the Israelites are chasing after giants. But there was one who grew weary. This is the part that's burned into my mind, Brother Mark. There's one who grew weary. That one who grew weary was King David. He ignited the fire. He stood up to a giant, but over a season of time, he grew weary. And others came around. I love how it's, and others came around him to help fight the battle. I wonder this morning, as we talk about being in fellowship of the supernatural, point number one, we're connected in Christ. Fellowship of the supernatural. I wonder how many of us in this room right now, if we were honest, as God looks at our heart, we would say, "We are so weary. And I am tired. And I need someone to come alongside of me to lift up my arms and pray. I need someone to come alongside and just help hear me out. Listen to me." I love what Charles Swindoll said one time. 90% of our ministry is just showing up. It's just being present. It's not us talking. Because if you're like me and you like to talk a lot, sometimes you just end up ruining the whole thing. You just need to be quiet and sit and listen. It's just about being present. It's the ministry of presence. We are connected in koinonia, as Paul used in Philippians 1:5, through the supernatural. Are you weary this morning? Have you been fighting giants by yourself? Outside of you or I, I'm here to tell you that Christ can carry that burden for you. There's one little thing that I need to express, though. It is impossible for you or I to be in fellowship with God and be out of fellowship with a brother or sister. When we talk about the fellowship of the supernatural, it is impossible for us to be in fellowship with God and be out of step with a brother and sister. Satan would love at this point, more than any other in the life of our church, to get in and cause a hedge. What I'm asking us as a Flat Creek family is to pray for unity. Isn't it fascinating, before Jesus goes to the cross and the high priestly prayer in John 17, he prays for unity amongst his believers. Right before he goes to the most agonizing death the world would ever know, there at that moment, he prays for unity amongst his believers. We must prayerfully defend that at all costs. Unity amongst believers. The fellowship koinonia of the supernatural is, if you have aught with one another, you ought to go to that person and make it right and then come back and worship. That's what the Scriptures tell us. And that's what's been reflected here. And I praise God for that. Because you know, when the Spirit breaks loose in a church, you can tell it. You can tell it in its greeting. You can tell it in its fellowshipping. You can tell it in its singing. You can tell it in its preaching. The Spirit of God reigns and hovers over a place when a corporate body comes together. It's an exciting and exhilarating time when the Spirit of God takes over the room. Remember this, those who are looking on the outside looking in, they're looking at John chapter 3. They may not know it, but verse 35, that says that others will recognize our authenticity in Christ by our love for one another. Brother Leo gave a great devotion this week in our staff devotion about our love and our commitment to love for one another. As he reminded us of that wonderful verse. I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture right now. I'm not sure whether you're going to like me or hate me for this, but it's a beautiful verse that you and I need to adopt as our life verse. It's Psalms 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165. You ready for this? Great peace who love thy law, nothing shall offend them. The acid level test to yours and my life is how much time we're spending with God. I can tell, and this is so convicting on so many levels, you don't even know this morning, that what it takes, just one little thing to upset me, offend me, whatever it may be, that is the indicator that I'm not spending much time with God. Because you know what happens? If I'm spending a lot of time with our Lord, it takes a whole lot more to offend me. Because great peace for those who love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Are you weary? Are you spending time in the Word of God? If you have a question about that, you can ask the people closest next to you and they'll be the indicator to tell you whether you're spending a lot of time with the Lord or not. Just don't ask my wife right now, okay? She'll tell you. There's a fellowship in the supernatural. Let me give you let's trace this word koinonia. You see it in chapter 1. Verse 5, go over to chapter 2, verse 1. It's unique that Paul uses this little word in several different chapters as we talk about the fellowship in the Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Prompts in my mind, if you just go to the book previous, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to give you a unity checklist. Something that you and I can filter through and just be encouraged this morning of how we are unified. And here's how we're unified. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and following, the Word of God says this through Paul's writing. He says, there is one body. There is one Spirit. Just as you are called into one hope of your calling, there is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. We are unified in body, in spirit, in hope, in the Lord, in faith, in baptism, and in God. And when we gather together to exalt those elements, friends, the Spirit of God changes our atmosphere. I want to do something a little bit different this morning. And you've heard me testify for the last few weeks. And I don't know of a better way to, I'm going to use this little red one right here, to have one of our members share the second point of our time together is there's fellowship in spirit. We're united, we're connected by koinonia in Christ. And I've asked Mr. Chuck, now I've been here 2 months, okay? 2 months. And I believe this is going to help me. I am so impressed with this man. I love this man with all my heart. You know him well, Mr. Chuck Johnson. And I asked him to come and share his experience here at the church and how he's had a body of believers come around side of him and reflect that we are connected in one spirit. Brother, why don't you share your testimony?
I'm in Larry and Cindy Butler's class of Salt and Light. And the Bible tells us to go forth unto all nations and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So that means we need to be mission-oriented, number one. Our class is mission-oriented. Our two or three of our members are on the mission team that just left yesterday. We have some members that are doing Christ's work in the jails there at the jailhouse ministry. We also do a coordinated effort with the Salvation Army. We're having a thing in March that's called Honk and Holler. And Sarita Workman and Cindy Butler head that up. So if you have always said, I want to go on a mission trip, but I can't do it, the mission field's right outside these double doors. And they would appreciate all the help that they can get. And the motto of our church is sharing Christ's love. And there's no better way to do that than to go and help others. At one of our efforts that we had with Sarita and the Salvation Army, it was probably 20 degrees outside, and we had coats, shirts, we had a meal for the people. It's a lot. They're less fortunate than a lot of us are. We're extremely blessed, and you don't realize how blessed you are until you see some of these people. And they were coming out. They were getting the coats. We had coats and stuff. And like I said, it was 20 degrees outside. And one guy came up, and he didn't have a coat. He had a T-shirt on and some blue jeans. And one of our members of our class, 20 degrees, took a very nice, practically brand new jacket right off his back and gave it to this guy. And that's sharing Christ's love. Two years ago, I had I still have the heart condition, but I had a major surgery. They were supposed to do 5 bypasses, but they could only do 3. I'm scheduled this April to have a defibrillator put in. And when I went in for this surgery, Larry came by to pray for me. The preacher at the time came by to pray for me. The preacher of my mother-in-law's church came by to pray for me. My in-laws, everybody came in to pray for me right before the operation. I'm sure I was on every prayer list that's in this church right now and probably nationwide because it was a big deal. But I had a lot of people lifting me up in prayer. And I really had made peace with myself because it was a very, very high-risk operation. I didn't know if I was going to live or die. And I was at peace, and I told everybody, you know, I've got a win-win situation. I'm either going to make it through if God has something else planned for me, or I'm going to be in heaven listening to the angels and praising God. So it was a win-win no matter what. And the surgeon came in, and he was getting ready to wheel me to the operating room, and he said, do you want the hospital chaplain to come and pray with you? And I said, I think I'm pretty prayed up right now. I said, we'll just go on in there. So they wheeled me into the operating room, got me on the table, and they were, you know, making sure I was comfortable and everything. And the whole surgical team gathered around me and prayed. I knew at that moment I was fine. God had something bigger in store for me. But I was at peace, totally at peace. And that's what it's all about. I mean, without the prayers and people praying and believing, it wouldn't have happened. Without my faith in God, it wouldn't have happened because He is the great physician and He guided that surgeon's hands. I know He did. Mm-hmm. And the surgeon didn't realize how bad off I was until after the operation. And he came in and he said, you know, your heart was a whole lot worse than we thought. And I was in ICU from Thursday to Sunday. And that was the reason I was in there so long. My heart did not start beating on its own until Sunday. And that was God, strictly God. But that being said, you know, our Sunday school class helped my wife. They brought meals to us. Without that, you know, she would have been working herself to death or trying to keep up with me and cook meals too. And I mean, it was just phenomenal. The people that are in my Sunday school class, I love each and every one of them dearly. And I consider them family more than I consider them friends. Mm-hmm. They're just extended family. But, you know, without them, you know, anybody that has a problem, they can put their name on the prayer list. And our Sunday school class is a prayerful class. I know everybody's is, but ours is a prayerful class. Brother Josh, you've been part of it. We lay hands on you and we pray. And we pray sincerely and we pray continuously and fervently. And that's what it's all about. If there's anybody out there that is new here today and you feel like you haven't connected yet, if you want to connect, Salt and Light Sunday School class, we'll be happy to have you. And, you know, if our class isn't the one for you, I promise you, we will get you in the right class where you feel comfortable, you feel loved, and you feel wanted. But this church is amazing. It's growing. And Brother Josh, you've done a fantastic job, and we love you.
I appreciate that. I want you to give some encouragement to one that may not be in a fellowship. How has your Sunday school class impacted you the most, and how would you encourage them to connect to Sunday school class?
Well, I suggest that you come on into the Sunday school class. And, you know, when you first come in, we'll welcome you. We'll love on you. We'll hug you. Everything we do is Christ-based. We are going to share the word with you. If you leave out of there and you don't know who Jesus is or what he did for you, then we didn't do our job. Yeah. And we share Christ with everybody. And like I said, Brother Josh, you've made some good decisions up until right now.
Yeah. You know, and I could call, very easily, I could call Bill McCorder and a lot of our other Sunday school teachers up who emulate what this church is all about in caring and sharing God's love. I could call our Sunday school teachers from our youth group that have done the exact same thing that the Butlers have done. But I want you to know, if you're not connected into a Sunday school class, this is the lifeline. This is the mechanism of how we make disciples at Flat Creek Baptist Church. It really is. It is how we mobilize our church to go out and to minister. Every class, we believe, ought to be relational, and you've seen that. Every class ought to be missional, and you've seen that here. And every class ought to be instructional, and you get the Word of God, you get relationships, and you get a mission attached to it. And I am so thrilled. When we talk about the unity of spirit, it exists in this place. We care for one another, and I am so grateful that you shared your story. Aren't you thankful
can
for that?
Can I ask two other things real quick? It won't be but just a second.
You sure can. You're not going to take an
one,
offering, are you?
No. All right, I'll do the love offering from you privately.
Yeah, that's right. Good. Brother Mark,
one thing, we have Vacation Bible School coming up this year. They're already gearing up for it. And if you would like to volunteer there, great mission opportunity, great opportunity to help some kids out. The other thing is I know that there's people out here that struggle with addiction. People that you know, that you love, that have addiction problems. We have a support group every Tuesday night at 6:30, strictly anonymous. Nobody knows you're there. Nothing leaves that room. It's called You Are Not Alone, and it's a blessing for you, I promise you, if you go to it. Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you. You stay right here. This is Brother Mark, and many of us know Brother. He's the Minister of Education here. And I'm so grateful for his ministry. And he's the one that can help connect you and facilitate you getting to a class if you're not already connected to one. But I want to do a quick little exercise together here. And I want you to, and I love preaching. It's so much in my heart and blood. You don't even know. I love it. But I want to just give you a quick little exercise to illustrate what we're talking about up here. I want you to name, I've preached, I think, 8 messages here. And I want you to pick your favorite message here. You may not have a favorite message yet. So you hang on. You might not be in this exercise. But think of the 3 major points that I gave, the key reference of that. I want you to be able to share those right now. Can anybody stand up and share your favorite 3 right now? Right now. Yeah, that's usually the case. And that kind of kills me because I figure you go home and meditate over them and light candles around them. I know that's not the reality. I do believe the doctrine of the church is the fuel to our life. But here's the other exercise. You ready for this? Let me give you this exercise. Can you name for me 3 people that have absolutely changed your life? Can you do that now? That's a whole lot easier. The lifeblood of this church is relationships. It is the thing that is going to come alongside of you and help shape and conform you in the image of God. As we take the Word of God, driving us and fueling us with the doctrine, and we bring alongside relationship, friend, you will feel the unity of the Spirit. I want Brother Mark right now just to pray for Mr. Chuck, his family, but also for those of us who are connected to a Sunday school class, those of you who are looking, I just want you to pray over the education here at the church and ask God to bring us into one spirit and one mind. I believe we are, but I just want us to continue to pray the unity of the church. I just believe that so sincerely that's the one thing Christ prayed before He went to the cross, that we ought to pray for that as well. Will you pray for Chuck and his family, and then for us in our education, in our small groups, in our Sunday school class here at Flat Creek?
Thank you. Well, I can't think of a better person than Chuck. I know Chuck is loved and loves his class and loves what God's doing in his life. Let me pray for you right now. Father, thank you so much for the encouragement we get from every one of our Sunday school teachers, God. Thank you for the encouragement our class, our people that are in our classes give us as we teach them. What a blessing, God. Thank you for Chuck and his family. Thank you for what you've done in his life. And thank you for his Sunday school class, the Salt and Light Sunday school class, and how they wrapped their arms around him and his family, God, and many others in that class. It's just one example that I know that you know, God, every one of them. So today we just pray that you would continue to use us to love on each other in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you give them a hand? So grateful for them. So grateful for them. Thank you, Mr. Chuck, for your testimony this morning. And that leads me into my last point as we begin to close things up this morning. We looked at Philippians chapter 2 and the fellowship in the Spirit. We've acknowledged that there is koinonia and fellowship in the supernatural. But the last thing I want to submit to you and put before you this morning is there should be and there ought to be koinonia, fellowship, and suffering. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, you hear Paul's words when he writes to the Philippian church, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the koinonia in the fellowship of His sufferings and being conformed to His death. Church family, it costs something for our Lord Jesus Christ to provide fellowship for us. I think it's appropriate and I think it's biblically accurate for us to ask this morning, what is our faith fellowship costing us? For many of you, I could name the countless hours that you spend up here, and Lord knows it's costing you hours, it's costing time with your family, and you're paying the price, and I believe God's going to bless you for that. But for so many of us as well, we come in expecting, what can the church do for me? What thrills my heart is that God, in His grace that we've heard, and Mr. Jimmy sang, Brother Jimmy sang such a beautiful song about God's grace for, I'm telling you, He has given you spiritual gifts by His grace to use for the edification of the church. He's given every one of us as followers of Christ a spiritual gift to serve, to edify, to build up the kingdom of God in this place so that we can touch the corners of our community and around the world. How are you using that gift in which He's given you? What is the church of Jesus Christ? What is this fellowship costing us this morning? Because to be honest, there's a lot of opportunity for us to use our gifts to reach this community. For some of you who have wondered, what is the vision for our church? I am praying to God that He would give us 10% of this community. I want God to give us 10% of this community by us using our spiritual gifts that He's given us, that we can go outside of these walls and we can continue to do as these Sunday school classes represent, and you've heard testimony this morning, we continue to use those gifts so that others may come to know Him in His death and resurrection, and that is the desire of my heart. But that's going to cost us something. That's going to cost us time. That's going to cost us energy. That's going to cost us in our extracurricular. We're going to have to make a commitment to put the Lord first. And not just first, but consist in all things that we do, so that we can reach our community with the gospel of Christ. Is that not what the Lord Jesus Christ called us to do? To go. To be the church. Not just come to church. Did you catch that? Not just do church, but to be the living, breathing church of Jesus Christ. We fellowship in the supernatural. We fellowship in the Spirit. But friends, we fellowship in sufferings as well. What will it cost us? I wonder this morning if you feel lonely. If you feel isolated. You feel that no one cares. The Scripture tells us there's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. The Scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ right now, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, can come sweeping, He can invade your heart, and He can cleanse you of all of your sins, and He can give you His sweet Holy Spirit to reign and live inside of you for all of your days, and then when you die, He'll take you to heaven where He is, and friends, you will have eternity in the presence of God. That's a decision, I pray, if you don't know Christ, that you make right now. How do you do that? You admit that you're a sinner. You believe in your heart that Christ is alive. And you confess that He is Lord. And the Scriptures tell us that if you call upon His name, He will save you. He will. You have eternity in Christ. Right now, in a blink of an eye, it's yours. Heaven reigns in you. You don't have to wait to get to heaven. He lives and reigns in you now. And someday your faith will become sight. Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? If you haven't, you're going to have an opportunity in a moment. Let me ask you this second. Some of us have been thinking about joining this fellowship. Friends, I don't know of a better fellowship to join than this one right here. And of course, I'm very, very biased, but I'm telling you it's a good one. Some of you have been thinking about joining for a long time. Why not today? How do you join? You come forward. You say, I want to become a member of this fellowship. And our church will celebrate with you. If you know Christ and you want to connect, I say it this way, there's no faster way to grow in your walk with Christ than join a local church. You have a body of believers come around side of you and help encourage you in your walk with Christ. You simply come forward. And we acknowledge that you've been with Christ and you know Christ, and we celebrate that you're a part of our family. Third thing, are you in fellowship in baptism as well? Have you been scripturally baptized? You've placed your faith in Christ and then you've been immersed under the water, recognizing of what Christ has done in your heart. Now you want the whole world to know. You want to publicly profess that you are a follower of Jesus. That's my challenge this morning. We want to make church great again. We must fellowship in supernatural, fellowship in the Spirit. And friends, we must fellowship in suffering. That will make church great. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As I mentioned to you in the beginning, my first challenge was to those who may not know Christ. I'm giving you the opportunity right now with nobody looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Right now, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I would simply pray to God this morning. You can repeat the prayer that I'm expressing to God, or maybe in your heart you just want to share to God words of your own. But if I were you, lost this morning, on your way to hell, all of heaven is right here in the person of Jesus Christ, I would pray this. Father God, today, I'm coming and placing my faith in Jesus Christ. I don't want to be isolated in my sin anymore. Father, I'm asking that you would wash me as white as snow, cleanse me from all of my sin. Live and reign in me, and I surrender to you. Jesus, I surrender my mind, my heart, my life to you. I'm placing my trust in you. I'm turning away from my sin. And I would just finish it this way. Father, thank you for loving me. It's in the name of Jesus, I pray. With nobody looking around, I ask you this morning. I wouldn't dare call you out or embarrass you. I would not do that to you. But I want to celebrate with you. Did you pray that prayer this morning? Did you give your life to Christ? If you did this morning, would you just stick your hand up higher? You can just look at me. I just want to just say praise to the Lord. I would not embarrass you. And just lift your hand up. Look at me. See you, brother. For those of us who need to take those next steps in obedience and fellowship, whether that's joining a local church or whether that's making the decision to be baptized, you move as the Spirit leads you to do so. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, then we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to sing, "As the Spirit of God leads you, you come." Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit that binds our heart in the supernatural, in the Spirit, and in suffering. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Sing with me.